He's the one who can do something about it. You can tell him, here's the injustice that's going on in my life. God, what am I to do with this? What will you do on my behalf about this? The word complain and its derivatives are used more often in the book of Job than in any other book of the Bible. And that would make sense, wouldn't it? Anybody go through more outside of our Lord Jesus Christ than righteous Job did? I don't know if we could say that they did. But Job's complaint usually is referenced toward God. In fact, he says explicitly in one verse, if I was making my complaint to men, it wouldn't matter. But I'm not. I'm making my complaint to God. And so Job said, why is this happening to me? So when we talk about a complainer, we're not necessarily talking about the good kind of complaining. You can make a good complaint to God. But when we talk about someone who is a complainer, what are we usually meaning? We're meaning someone not the man who's bringing the appropriate complaint to the appropriate in the appropriate way to the appropriate person. We're not talking about the person who went to the civil judge and said, listen, here's the case, here's the injustice that's happened against me, I've hired a lawyer, can you render a verdict on my behalf? That would be a righteous complaint. Maybe you've told your children before, if something's happening, you can come to me and say, Dad, here's what happened, can you please fix it? But if you come to me, Dad, he's hiding you, Dad! You're a complainer. You're not bringing your complaint in the appropriate way to the appropriate person. So when we're talking about a complainer, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that either the complaint is inappropriate, the way they're bringing the complaint is inappropriate, or the person they're bringing it to is inappropriate. Pastor Michael taught me long ago very wise words. If I'm not the problem or the solution, don't tell me about it. That's a gossip. That's a complainer. When we talk about a complainer in this way, the way Jude is talking about them, we're talking about someone who is known for habitually using their words to express what does not satisfy them and their preferences. This is a complainer. They're known for the way they use their words, the way they use their tongue, is to express to you why they're discontent about something. What didn't match up to their preferences? What didn't match up to their likes and dislikes? And so that's what they use their tongue for. They use their tongue to express their discontent. It's the opposite of the person who uses their tongue and their words to express to those around them the sovereignty and goodness of God. That's what a complainer is. He's the opposite of that. Someone who's a child of God, who recognizes the goodness and the sovereignty of God, uses their tongue to express to those around them, God is good. He cares for me. He's good all the time. Everything he does is right. The opposite of that is, I don't like this. You know why I don't like it? Because of this and that and the other. And they know I don't like it, and they did it that way anyways. I'm God. I get to decide what's right and wrong. I get to decide what preferences are and shouldn't be. And when I'm crossed, everyone should know about it. Those of us who believe that God is sovereign, those of us who believe in the doctrines of grace, those of us who believe that God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose, to those who agree with the sentiment that not a blade of grass blows in the wind and not a drop of rain falls from the heaven, but that it was ordered by God above. If you claim to believe those things, which I do, then how could we also be known for our complaints? How could we also be known as the one who is regularly using their words to express their dissatisfaction with everything that's happening around them? This question ought to give every one of us a cause for serious introspection. You should look at yourself and your life. You should gauge your words and what you're known for. Maybe you should have a hard conversation with the person closest to you and ask them, do I more often use my words to express my satisfaction in God and his providences in my life, or do I more often use my tongue to express my dissatisfaction with the people and circumstances in my life? Because if it's the latter, then your actions and your words in your daily life and conversation are belying the doctrinal creed you claim to hold. You say, I believe in the sovereignty of God, and your words say, I believe in the sovereignty of me. I believe that everything should please me. And this brings us to this last phrase here in Jude, which is that they are walking after their own lusts. The semicolon comes after this phrase. When I first started working on this message, I thought maybe the first two things went together, and then he began to list some other things. It's the first three things that go together. They're murmurers and they're complainers because they're walking after their own lusts. That's what makes them murmurers and complainers. The fact of the matter is, the foundation of the issue is that they're walking after their own lusts. So what happens when your lusts, your fleshly desires, your preferences, the things that make you comfortable and happy, what happens when they get crossed? Well, if you're walking after your own lust, if you're ordering your life, the idea here is that their life is ordered around what makes them comfortable and happy. They're walking after that. That's the way that they go, is after their own lust. Whatever makes me comfortable, whatever makes me happy, that's the way my life is going to be ordered around. And therefore, they protest anything that doesn't fall into that system. This didn't make me happy. This made me uncomfortable. This didn't please me. This didn't go the way I planned. That person isn't doing things the way that I would do it if I were in their shoes. Complain, 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 complain. That doesn't match up to my lusts. Walking after your own lusts does not always look like fornication, drunkenness, and carousing. That's usually what we think about when we think about the word lust, right? The most explicit giving in to the flesh. But sometimes it looks like being a complainer because our food wasn't made the way we like it best. Or the tire on our car went flat. Or someone we know made a decision for their family that we wouldn't make for our family. And we complain about it. We murmur about it. We gripe. That didn't go the way I wish it had gone. And I'm the one who decides the way the world should be ordered. I walk after my own lusts. Your words and your attitude in response to that is going to display whether you're walking in the Spirit, submitted to the providences of your Heavenly Father, or whether you're walking after your own lusts and therefore are going to decry anything that crosses your smallest whim. An example of this kind of lust is found when the children of Israel complained about the manna that they'd been given and asked God, they tempted God by asking him whether he could provide meat. Psalm chapter 78 and verse 18 makes this clear. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Now this verse, out of everything else in this sermon, this verse was the most convicting to me, because this is a personal preference of Josh Miller. I told Anna a long time ago, I want meat at every meal. I want meat three times a day. And so what is this? Eggs and fruit and a cinnamon roll and coffee and orange juice. Where's the meat? Where's the bacon? Where's the ham? Where's the sausage? I'm a complainer. I have lusts that need to be met. Now, I said if anyone had a right to complain, it was Job. But how many in here could eat bread every meal, every day, every week, every month, and not complain about it? I don't think there's one of us in here that could. And we prove it because we complain about the food we get when we have everything at our beck and call, and we sit and argue for 20 minutes about what kind of food we want to eat. And then we complain when it doesn't show up the way we wanted it. We're not better than the children of Israel. We're worse than the children of Israel. We tempt God. James verse 4 and verse 3 said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask that ye may consume it upon your lusts. He's not only talking there about asking God to give you a woman to fornicate with. He's talking about, God, give me everything the way I want it, when I want it, or I'm going to complain about it. It's not the model prayer of our Lord Jesus, nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Instead, it is the prayer of the children of Israel. God, I'm tired of manna, give me meat. So Jude tells us that this is a mark of these kind of ungodly, rebellious, lascivious men. They're murmurers and they're complainers. And the reason they're murmurers and they're complainers is because they walk after their own lust. Because they order their life not around the idea, I'm going to do the best I can with what God has given me, and I'm going to try to enjoy all good things that he's given me for his glory. But in the end, I'm going to submit myself to his providences and his will and the way he orders things in my life. Instead, we're murmurers and complainers because we think when things don't go exactly the way that I want them to go, I have a right to express my discontent. I have a right to murmur quietly to someone else or complain loudly to everyone else. One or the other is going to happen. When we do that, when we become murmurers, when we become complainers, Jude tells us we're expressing that we have not learned to crucify the lusts of the flesh. We haven't learned to put them to death. We haven't learned to submit ourselves to God. Instead, we're proud, idolatrous people. And so this needs to start, as I said at the beginning, in our own hearts. We all need to come to grips with the way which we walk after our own lusts. And if we want to debate that we do that, then let's just see if we really have learned to control all our murmuring and complaining. And I think we'll find that we have not. We've not yet learned to really tame our tongue, because James told us that the man who can do that is a perfect man. And so let's start with that in our own lives. And then let's take the context of Jude into account and be on guard against people like that. If there's someone else who is a habitual complainer and murmurer, I would warn you about being close, fast friends with someone like that. That's going to rub off. You're going to learn their ways. You too will begin to become numbed and desensitized to the fact of complaining and murmuring. Rather, we need to overcome evil with good. For every complaint brought before us, we need to express, but isn't God good? But we know that all things work together for good. Thank God that we know he's sovereign. Let our lips express what our creed confesses, which is that God is sovereign and we are his servants and we're submitted to his will. If you're not submitted to his will, if you're an unbeliever, then I would expect nothing more than that you would be a murmurer and complainer. By your unbelief and your unrepentance, you've already expressed that you think you're a little God and that you don't need to submit your will and bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jude teaches us nothing else, it teaches us that there is sure destruction for people with that kind of a mindset. So let's put that away. Let's bow our knee to the Lord Jesus, and let's have that reflected in the way that we talk. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and its relevance. In the midst of a book full of obvious sins, which are very distasteful to us, we again find the total depravity of man. The fact that all of us are influenced by sin. And to the degree that conviction has come upon us through this passage of Scripture today, we plead the blood of Jesus to cover our sins. We confess that we are sinners, we're murmurers, we're complainers, and therefore we're trusting in the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus, who only ever used his tongue for good, who went to the cross for us. And we pray that you would keep that reality before us in such a way that we would not dishonor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by continuing to sin boldly, but rather that we would seek going forward to tame our unruly tongues. For Christ's sake, we ask these things. Amen.